Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Good morning and welcome to Cap and Company, ESPN 1000 with Danny Zetterman and Christopher Bleck. I'm David Kaplan. Great to be back on the air. A lot to get to. Boy, Michael Kopech opts out. White Sox showing great support. And Yu Darvish says, I came back to see if they were taking it seriously. Otherwise, I would have left. And they are taking it seriously. So good to see that he's here, and everybody should show all their support for Michael Kopech as he works through whatever his reasoning is for not playing. But baseball, it's great to be talking about scrimmages and guys pitching and Tim Anderson bat flipping, and thought it was awesome. So really excited that baseball is back, and we'll get to the Washington football team and all of that. Boys, how are you? I haven't seen you, and I guess I won't see you for a little bit.
Cap, what's going on? How was the road trip?
Road trip was outstanding, but we didn't drive. You know.
Oh, all right. Well, glad you made it back in one piece. That's fantastic.
Made it back, and it's just amazing to me to see how our state, people at least are trying, and I understand we're all dealing with a pandemic, but like my neighbors were in Wisconsin. That's not one of the 15 states, and the reason that I'm sitting in the house is I was in one of the 15 states. And my neighbor said, yeah, I was in Wisconsin with my family. We rented a lake house. We went up to Menards to get something, and I had a mask on. And the clerk goes, what's with the mask? He's like, are you guys not aware of the ongoing COVID-19 problem? He said, where are you from? Chicago. Is COVID a thing down there? This is in Wisconsin. Is COVID a thing down there? At least where we were in California, every single place that you would have wanted to go to, you had to have a mask. We ended up, we were in a house, we went to the grocery store, and that was it. So it was good to see people taking it seriously. But apparently our neighbors to the north, not so much. Danny, how are you, kid?
What up, Cap? Nice to hear you. We actually, you started out the show this Monday morning lying to the audience. We did actually see each other. You FaceTimed us this morning.
Kind of.
Wanted to show off your tan to Chris and I since you didn't get to come in studio and show it off, but you were looking good.
Thank you. It was nice to get away and be with my wife, and now it's great to be back on the air, and I'm excited. There's just so much to talk about. We'll get to Michael Kopech and his decision to opt out of the 2020 season. Theo Epstein was on our station on Friday, and he talked on the Waddle and Sylvie show. He also did a Zoom call with reporters. But, you know, there's been some people saying, well, a 60-game season, if you win it, is it a big deal? Well, it was only 60 games. Well, Theo says the 60-game season, when he was asked that question, here's his thoughts on being meaningful.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else, but there is kind of a consensus brewing in our camp that, you know, when we were contemplating this type of arrangement and when we were getting ready to report and making all the arrangements, I think if you ask the typical member of the Cubs organization, whether it was player or front office, there would have been some skepticism about is this legitimate? Is the World Series champion going to be as special? Will championship be as meaningful this year as it's been in the past? And then now that we're here and we're seeing just how much hard work and teamwork and discipline and care goes into pulling this off and just having a chance to compete, let alone to prosper and thrive and ultimately win, I think we all feel like maybe the trophy should be even bigger this year because, you know, the team that can withstand all this, you know, first of all, it won't just be 26 guys or 30 guys. It'll be, you know, the whole community, the whole organization, and really the whole community around them and the hard work of everyone across the industry, allowing the game to go on. But it's going to take a lot extra to compete and to prosper at a high level this year. So, yeah, I think it's very legitimate despite some of the differences.
he makes some very, very valid points when you think about the Cubs are the only team since camp started that have not had, knock on wood, a positive COVID-19 test. They did have Tommy Hotovy, their fine pitching coach, deal with it, but that was back in late March. But since everybody's come back together and they had their intake tests and then they've been getting tested every other day, now that they've worked some of the kinks in that system out, they haven't had anybody, and hopefully that continues. The White Sox have had a couple, and hopefully they will get those guys back fairly quickly. But when you look at this whole camp situation around baseball, I read Buster Olney, where he said he thought we should hear more from Rob Manfred, the commissioner, Tony Clark, the head of the Players Association. And since the agreement was announced a few weeks ago, we haven't heard anything from those guys. Nothing. And, you know, Chicago's mayor, she goes and speaks, or the governor goes and speaks, or different municipalities have their mayors or their president, whatever it is, speak. I would like to hear, I don't know if Danny and Chris agree with me, but I would like, if not a daily update, unless there's big news, at least every Friday go, hey, we got through this week, we had a very low test rate, we're in a good place, and let's just see where this all leads. We don't hear from those guys at all. Would you like to hear from them, Danny?
I don't know. You know, you said this morning when we talked, I'm not clamoring to hear more Rob Manfred. You know, I'm a Cub fan. I like to hear from David Ross. I like to hear from Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer. If they meet the media often and keep me updated on my favorite team, that's fine with me. The same thing on the south side of town. I think Rick Hahn does a great job every day of meeting the media. He has his Zoom calls. That, as a Chicago baseball fan, that's all I need. Rob Manfred right now, his credibility is so low with me. He's going to meet it and do a little PR stunt to try to make me feel better about baseball. It's just, I don't need to hear from him.
Yeah, but I would like to hear, I mean, I'm talking a dose of real honesty where Rob comes out and says, okay, here's what we've got going on. Our testing rate has been good. We fixed that problem, but our, you know, positivity rate was up, was down, whatever the case may be. Because we may think everything's hunky-dory if you're a Cub fan, or you might think, well, the White Sox, it's been very small, but had a couple, but things are okay. We have no idea what's going on in Seattle or Toronto or Minnesota or any of these other places. I would like somebody to come out once a week at least and say, here's where we're at. We're having some issues with this. They're being addressed, rather than it's leaking out. Chris Bryant says, boy, they told me I'd get tested every other day, and I don't feel that good about it because we haven't been doing it. I'd like somebody in authority who oversees the sport or the players to be speaking. That's just for me. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't care. It's unnecessary. If they have an outbreak and there's a major situation going on and they need to get a hold of it and they need to get the sport moving on the right track, then yeah, he will need to speak. Otherwise, if testing was delayed, but they're now figuring it out and everything seems to be moving in the right direction, why do we need a weekly update like he's Anthony Fauci? We don't need that.
Yeah, I would prefer to hear.
For what reason? If the testing, if they're kind of figuring it out as they go, and it seems like after the stumbling blocks early on, it seems like things have gotten under control for the most part with Major League Baseball. It seems like it's moving in the right direction. The test results are coming back. Teams are practicing. We're moving towards opening day, I believe 11 days away from opening day. I think the focus now turns to on the field, and off the field dealing with COVID-19 will be in the background. If there's something major that goes on, yeah, he'll need to speak. Otherwise, I don't need him to trot out every Friday to give a state of the union on COVID-19 and baseball. Just keep going about your business. Let's make sure everyone's safe, and let's get to the baseball games. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I can't wait for baseball, and it's great to hear, you know, different things happening, you know, whether it's Tim Anderson bat flipping, or we get some of these different things that are baseball content. John Lester was throwing and throwing well, and we're hearing all these different things out of the south side of Luis Robert falling down and still taking the ball out of the ballpark. And boy, oh boy, do I love that young core that the White Sox have. And don't forget, Chuck Garfine is on our station now all the time. He is on this show on Mondays. He does Carmen and Yurko. He does Waddle and Sylvie. He does our baseball show with Jay Hood. So you'll be getting a lot of White Sox perspective now here on ESPN 1000. Theo was also asked on the Waddle and Sylvie show, do you like the makeup of your roster for what is a sprint, a 60-game season?
You know, it's not the type of issue where you want to get too overly analytical and you know, you could talk about things like, you know, maybe one of our weaknesses is starting pitching depth and hopefully that's less likely to show up 60 or 162. But I think really it's about, the feel of the team, the vibe of the team, the motivation of the team, how invested they are in each other, how invested they are in being here, how invested they are in the leadership and their manager, and how invested they are in winning. And, you know, this group, it's been off the charts so far. Obviously, we haven't faced, you know, the typical baseball adversity yet. That always comes around in the first week of the season. So it'll be important to see how we respond when things aren't going well. But we have faced some real-world adversity so far, everybody, just by showing up every day. And these guys really want to be here. They really want to win for each other, keep each other safe, and win at the same time. And they want to win for their first-year manager that they're really fond of. And, I think there's a lot to prove after the last couple of years and questioning a little bit of the identity of the group. And this is a golden opportunity to do that. And there's a feeling, you know, that things don't last forever. And with what's going on in the world, that's just a great reminder of how ephemeral this is, you know, the ability to compete at a high level, the ability to play together, the ability to stay together as a group, regardless of, the contract situations or windows or anything like that. Life is ephemeral. So it's important to seize the moment. Our guys are really, really eager to do that while obviously keeping one eye on, or, you know, first dealing with the issue of health and safety and then being cherishing the opportunity to compete and win.
So that was Theo on Friday. We have a lot more of him. We'll play a little bit later in the show, but I liked hearing Yu Darvish come out and say, I was not convinced I was going to play, but I was going to come back and see how everyone was handling things and if we were all taking COVID-19 seriously here. And he was very impressed with the protocols at Wrigley, and that's why he is staying. I still think that Kyle Hendricks will be the opening day starter, but it could be Darvish and Hendricks too. And then you got John Lester, and then who knows? You got one guy injured washing dishes. You got Alec Mills. You got Tyler Chatwood. You got Adbert Alzolay. So there's a number of options. I don't think they have anywhere near the depth in starting pitching that the White Sox have. But the White Sox depth did take a hit. Michael Kopech decided to opt out of the season. Did one of his coaches, maybe his closest coach, say too much? We'll talk about that next.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
ESPN 1000, we will get to the statement from the Washington football team. They're doing what they need to do, change the name. They haven't announced what that name will be. We can talk about that a little later. There's a couple of really cool options, but we'll get to that. But Michael Kopech with to some, a shocking announcement. To others around the team, it wasn't as shocking. We'll talk about it with Chuck at 11. And you're listening to ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan with Danny Zetterman and Chris Black. So Michael Kopech said he is opting out of the 2020 season. Now, he had been hitting 101 on the radar gun in spring training. And then everything got shut down. Now, he is more than a year out from Tommy John surgery. He is, by all accounts, 100% healthy. He was probably not going to break camp with the team had the pandemic not hit, because they did not want him pitching in the cold weather where it's tougher to get loose. Well, now it's in the 90s. Weather's beautiful. And he says no. On the surface, you think, okay, he just He doesn't feel comfortable. He's protecting his arm. And that's where, Danny, I thought when he said he was protecting his arm, or when that was speculated that way, I thought, okay, I get it. I get it. But then Don Cooper comes out and said, I know he's battled anxiety and depression, and I sure hope he's okay. Did he go too far, Danny, do you think?
Yeah, I think Don Cooper went too far. I mean, what Don Cooper said, I understand he wants to support one of his guys, but when he brought up about how he deals with anxiety and depression and he hopes he's okay, and then he said, I'm concerned that he's not okay. And I think that was the sentence that didn't need to be put in it. I mean, one of his quotes was, quote, the last time I saw him in spring training, he was in a great place. But let me put it this way. I sure hope the kid is okay. I'm concerned that he's not okay. Why that needed to be said to the media, I don't understand.
Yeah, that shocked me, the last part of it. And, you know, maybe there were people on social media since the announcement that were critical. I can't believe he's not playing. And I just don't understand that perspective. I don't. If a player, if you or Chris or anybody at the station had said, look, I'm just not comfortable during the pandemic coming down there. I'm not going to work. Who am I to tell you you should put your health at risk coming downtown every day? That's no one's business but you and your family. And if Michael Kopech, for whatever reason, feels as though I can't do this right now, then he needs everyone's support. We're in a time where people finally are acknowledging that mental health is something that should not be in the shadows, should not be hidden. And if, for whatever reason it is, he's not comfortable, then you support him. You reach out to him if you're in his inner circle. You tell him, hey, man, we're here for you. But to criticize him?
Well, Cap, I don't understand that. Where I have to jump in here, because then you have to directly angle what you just said towards Don Cooper, the pitching coach for the Chicago White Sox. I mean, don't go after random eggs on Twitter. You got to go after the pitching coach. What is he doing there? I talked about this at length yesterday with Abdallah on the show, is that I agree with you, Cap. I thought we were in a place that because of COVID-19, if someone opted out, I thought we were all in this
together
kind of agreement where we understand why someone would make that sacrifice for their family, make the sacrifice for their teammates, that they are going to stay away and just they don't want to be a part of it. So, okay, fine. We've had numerous NBA players. We've had MLB players, most notably on Friday, Buster Posey opting out, who has accomplished a heck of a lot more in Major League Baseball than Michael Kopech has. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I thought we were in this agreement because of COVID-19 that if players didn't feel comfortable, they have the privilege to not have to go to work. Thus, we accept what they are choosing to do. I think it's completely out of line for a member of the organization, let alone his pitching coach, to question where he's at mentally because he's not participating. I think it's totally irresponsible. And if we're trying to move into a place where we accept mental health as an important factor of life, I don't understand why Don Cooper would go out of pocket and out of turn from what the organization said on Friday. I think Rick Hahn and everyone with the White Sox handled it fine on Friday. What are these quotes in the Sun-Times from Don Cooper about? What is this? He's questioning the mental makeup of his pitcher.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Cap, real quick, according to James Fegan of The Athletic, multiple sources indicated that Cooper's comments were addressed internally by the White Sox. So the fact that the White Sox organization felt they needed to address Don Cooper about it shows that he went a little too far and maybe put his foot in his mouth.
I'm surprised he hasn't released a statement apologizing for him yet. I am. I really am.
Well, do you think... I'm just positing this
Let me ask you this, Cap. In the quote, he says, I hope the kid is okay. Quote, I'm concerned that he's not okay. Why would he not be okay? He said he doesn't want to participate because of COVID-19. Now you're speculating that there's something else going on. Why would you say that publicly?
Well, let me just throw this back to you. What if he knows that Michael's taking heat for not playing? From some people, not everybody, obviously, but there are some lunatics out there. I've been reading some of the stuff where, get tough, man up, go play. And he said, hold on a second. this isn't a guy afraid to play because of COVID-19. He's dealing with stress, anxiety. He's battled depression in his life. So back off. What if he was trying? Maybe it was the wrong way to do it, but what if he was trying to help his guy out?
No, it doesn't read like that. And I know they were quotes given to the Chicago Sun-Times, so props to them for getting the quotes, and it's not audio that we can listen to. It does not come across as that. To me, as someone who's younger, with a younger perspective, it comes across as an older generation individual in sports questioning the toughness of one of his own players.
And here's the worst part of Don Cooper. So according to James Fegan, just came out with a great piece that I'm kind of going through now as we're talking about this. In James Fegan's piece in The Athletic, he says, according to multiple sources, the White Sox got a full presentation of Kopech's concerns about playing in the 2020 season during a meeting in Chicago that included Jerry Reinsdorf, Rick Hahn, and assistant general manager Jeremy Haber. He went over everything, right? And it says, sources close to Kopech indicate he was driven by a litany of concerns, not limited to a short ramp-up to action, an uncertain role, uncertainty over the fate of the 2020 season, caution in determining how and when to best return to action from Tommy John surgery, and despite not being medically deemed high-risk himself, concern of how playing amid the pandemic could threaten the health of those close to him. So it sounds as if every member of the White Sox organization knew why he was opting out of the season, but for some reason Don Cooper wanted to let the media know he's concerned over this young man's health.
I mean, I hear that he and Coop are close. Again, I'm not saying Coop was right. Obviously, if they've had to address this, he was not. I'm just saying I wonder if he thought he was doing the right thing, trying to quiet down the critics by saying, hey, there's more here. You need to back off here. So maybe that's why he did it, and he was wrong for doing it. I'm not disagreeing with you guys. That's just my wonder, because I know Coop. He's a good dude, man, and he has his players' best interests at heart. I don't think there was anything nefarious going on when he said it. Should he have said it? Well, if they had to address it internally, maybe not. But that was my initial thought was, it's not just COVID. He's really trying to make sure everyone understands, back off. This kid needs our support. He deals with more than just the fear of getting COVID-19. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Our guy, Matt, he's a P1. He's on all the time. He calls in from River North. Hey, Matt, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, Cap. Here's the thing with Michael Kopech. If he truly is afraid of COVID, I have no problem with it. This is also a kid who said he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So I have a problem with the guy. If he's not afraid of COVID and it's these other issues, you know, then it's something I'd be very concerned about if I was the White Sox. There were a lot of great pitchers who had Rick Ankiel had issues, Steve Blass. So it's something I'd be concerned about. And it is a big hit to their pitching depth because I don't know, you know, all my buddies, I got them turned on to your show in D.C. and I told them about the pitching depth and they're like, I hope he's not considering Gio Gonzalez because they say he doesn't have gut one, you know, the way he pitched in the playoffs. And you were at that game 5 when the Cubs hammered him, and he was trembling on the mound. He didn't want to be there, and they believe that he cost Dusty Baker his job. And the other thing is, the young core, to me, is if Robert is so great, then how great is Juan Soto?
I mean, Juan Soto's incredible.
I mean, they say they wouldn't take 3 White Sox players for him.
Yeah, here's the thing, and appreciate your call, Matt. Always appreciate you listening. Look, Juan Soto's proven it at the big league level. Luis Robert has not had 1 at-bat in a big league game. None. I love him. I think he's going to be an amazing player. But until you step in the box and prove it over a lengthy major league season in high-leverage games like Juan Soto did, it's Juan Soto, then it's Luis Robert. 2 years from now, who knows? We might say Luis Robert's the best player in the game. I hope we do. I love him. Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, we were sitting in the first row at the Sox spring training game And it was him and Aloy Jimenez in front of us, and it looked like two linemen from the Bears, right?
Beasts. They look like they could be edge rushers.
My goodness. So I hope he's awesome. Right now, Juan Soto's one of the greatest players in the game. Let's go to Barry in Deerfield. Hey, Barry, what's
Barry
going on?
Barry dropped off, Cap.
Barry, all right. Let's grab a quick timeout. The great Eddie Olczyk will join us next. We'll break down the Hawks' return to action. They know when they're playing the Edmonton Oilers. And they're starting training camp today, so a lot going on there. So we'll get into that. More baseball. We'll hear more on Michael Kopech, more from Theo Epstein. We'll hear from John Lester. A lot to get to. But Eddie Olczyk, he's straight ahead. Next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. We're going to talk to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Famer, part of our show, the great Eddie Olczyk, in just a moment. Great to be back, and I am working from home for the next 14 days because Mayor Lightfoot said if you travel to 15 states, you must self-quarantine and not come into our city for 14 days. I'm following the rules. Those are the rules. She laid them down. And I am going to follow them, although I believe Danny doesn't think I could stay home for 14 days.
Well, I'm glad Edzo's coming on here because as a man who's very well-versed in the horses and gambling, I'd like him to set odds that you actually staying in your house for 14 days. And I'd like to challenge our fans, our listeners, if you're in the North Shore, Cap lives around the Deerfield, Riverwoods area.
Do you have an address on that?
Yeah, I'll give you the address. I'm putting a bounty on Cap's head. If you see Cap out in public and you report that to Chris Bleckerai, I will have a prize for you. It will be a very nice prize. I've got a bounty on Cap's head. I know he is not going to stay in his house for 14 straight days.
For those who don't know, how would you describe Cap in case they've never seen him on TV?
About
maybe Edzo would have a good description of you.
Long blonde hair. We welcome the great Eddie Olczyk to our show. The Blackhawks will start August 1 in a five-game series with the Edmonton Oilers. There'll be a lot of firepower on that ice. Edzo, good morning. How are you, Sparkles?
Hey, Chris, Danny, Cap. Nice to be with you guys. And Cap, do you think I should I drive to Edmonton for the playoffs, or should I I don't know. What should I do? Should I fly or drive?
I would say that you should probably fly. Just make sure that you follow the directives and wear your mask and cover your eyes, as my eye doctor brother told me, and you'll be good to go.
How was your drive home from California?
It was good. A friend picked us up at O'Hare and got us back home.
You're unbelievable. All we heard for like 7 years was you're going to make the journey across the country in the car. You're going to stop everywhere. And he ended up flying both ways. That is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled that I didn't have to do the drive because it would have been exhausting. But
did Danny just put a bounty on your head for walking around in the suburbs? The last time I heard that line was it's a line from Slapshot there when Paul Newman put a Reg Dunlop put a bounty on one of the players for the other teams. Oh my gosh, Cap. So seriously, but that's a city ordinance, right? Like that is not a state quarantine. Is that correct?
I can by rule I can actually go around in the suburbs, but
yeah, right. Exactly.
If I
but
set
not in
foot
the city.
In the city, yeah, right. That's where the bounty should be.
All right, we'll get you one of those ankle bracelets or a dog collar, and once you enter the Chicago, we'll just shock the hell out of you.
Yeah, exactly. So, Edzo, the schedule is out. Blackhawks and Edmonton will play on August 1, and then I believe August 3, and then August 5. So you look at the setup, and you look at what the Hawks have. They have elite goaltending. They've got some elite star power. They're also a young team. Who has got the advantage here with no fans, really no home ice advantage, so to speak? Who has the advantage in this?
No, I mean, there's a lot there, Cap. I mean, I've been hearing you guys, and the guy's doing a wonderful job filling in for you when you were on holidays. I mean, it's the unknown, right? Like in baseball. I mean, who's going to be better off in the 60-game schedule in Major League Baseball if we can get it off the ground? The Cubs or the Sox? Well, the Cubs have the veterans. They've won. They know how to do it. They're going to be more disciplined away. And, the young White Sox, maybe they don't know any better. They can get on a run. I mean, all those things play into it. It's no different than hockey. I mean, look at what happened 4 months ago for the Blackhawks or the Oilers is absolutely irrelevant. I mean, the interesting thing is, Cap, is you're right. They play the first, the third, and the fifth, the first three games of a best of five. And if it gets to a game four, is going to be on the 7th, and then game 5 would be the next night. It would be a back-to-back situation. So something to keep an eye on there. I don't know how to handicap this. I really don't. I think it's going to be entertaining as hell if we can get to those bubbles and be able to get the product back on the ice. But, you're right. Three things. I think we touched on this maybe a couple of weeks ago. So one would be you got to get the goaltending. You got to get it. It's got to be consistent. Two is you got to have hockey health. These guys have been off for 4 months and they're just really kind of getting back into it the last couple of weeks. And now Hawks are starting training camp today. And then the third thing, obviously, and the most important, in the big picture is the COVID, right? Is staying away from the virus. You're allowed to bring 31 players into the bubble, Cap, 28 skaters is the max. You cannot bring any more than 28 skaters. You bring three goaltenders. So you're going to, chances are you're going to need a full complement of players. But I don't know how to answer that, Cap. I really don't, because of, the original heart of your question is it's just the unknown of how players and how teams are going to react to all of a sudden dropping a puck. And it's for the opportunity to continue to go into the, into the so-called, 16-team regular playoff once they get through the initial play-in.
When you look at a guy like Corey Crawford and you look at the experience that the Blackhawks have had in high leverage, not a lot of those guys are obviously either older, have been injured like Brett Seabrook, or some guys are gone. And then you look at that Edmonton team and you go, boy, that Connor McDavid, he's a stud. Leon Draisaitl, that guy's a stud. And you look at their roster, they haven't proven anything yet. If the Hawks were able to win game one, does a team like Edmonton, you've been on a Stanley Cup champ, you've been on an emerging team, does a team like Edmonton, in your opinion, go, son of a gun, we're down a game already, and start to doubt themselves?
Well, look, I mean, I think when you're playing a five-game series, Cap, I don't care what sport it is, that first game becomes absolutely massive. And you're right, you don't have the crowd aspect of it, the home crowd advantage. I mean, there is none. I mean, even though you're playing at Edmonton, you're playing against the Oilers, and yes, I'm assuming they're going to be in their own locker room and there's going to be a comfort zone there. But, there's a little bit of pressure there too, I would say, right? Being a hub city.
Yep.
Edmonton is, you mentioned it. I mean, you got two of the, top 10 players in the entire league on that team. They're a lot better defensively than they've been in the past. But again, I mean, how are teams going to react after having been off for, for as long as they've been? And again, I mean, I love going on the World Wide Web and looking at articles and people talking about the analytics and all the specialty teams with numbers and everything that's gone on, or how this team matches up against this team. I mean, that was 4 months ago. I mean, those numbers go right out the window. I mean, it's just like, okay, who can come there? Who can be healthy? Who can get off to a good start and give themselves an opportunity? But you're right. I mean, the pressure certainly will be on those 8 play-in games and throughout the National Hockey League to get off to a really good start and win that first game. And one last thing, Cap, if I could, just from a logistic point of view, you have the play-in tournament, which the Blackhawks are a part of. So those are playoff rules, meaning you go one overtime, it's tied, you go to two, you go to three, you go to four, you play until the end. Now, you are going to have some games that the teams are already guaranteed to spot. Those are tune-up games. Those are just for positioning and seeding. The one thing to keep an eye on is if you have back-to-back play-in games, and you're going to have them, Cap, because you're playing in one arena, you're going to have a max 3 games in any day.
you're going to have a situation, Cap, where maybe you have an afternoon game that starts at 4, just say by chance, mm-hmm. or maybe you're a noon game, and that game goes 6 hours, 7 hours. That second game won't start until 3 hours later, and you got a third game that's waiting. You might not start a game maybe 3-4 hours later than you were supposed to. You could have games starting at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning just because you only got one arena. So something to keep an eye on for hockey fans out there to know that, hey, your team may be playing at, you know, at 3 local. If that first game goes into a marathon game, and we've seen it, Cap, you've been to a few of them, right? Like, yep. Those games, you know, those games could end up being 5 or 6 hours. Your team may not play for a while, so something to keep an eye on here. But again, it's the world we're living in our own little world. You know, we know what the real world is, but in the sports world, in the hockey world here, that's something that, you know, people should take a look at and just, you know, can't prepare for it, but you better be ready for it, because there's a good possibility, you know, games are going to get delayed and you might have really, really late starts.
Let me just tell you something, Edzo. I know that if you were still playing, you would have found a way to be on the ice during the pandemic somewhere. You would have played horses, skate, horses, workout. You'd be ready to roll.
Cap, look it. I'm not going to say what I would have done, but look it. You know that there have been athletes. I'm not just going to say hockey players that have been working out or training, you know, in the dark, right? Like it's a part of your, you know, it's a part of your life. And as long as you are being respectful for everybody else, you know, some guys might have a leg up on others, but since camp's officially opening up for hockey and hockey is officially back today, and hopefully we can all get on the right side of this and bring a little bit of entertainment. And the one last thing I would say, Cap, and having coached in the league and played, and if I was a part of an organization, like I would look at this challenge as, look at, like, this is something that, you know, besides ourselves, like, we're doing for the community, right? Like, we're doing for the fans, we're doing for the state, we're doing for the people that support us, right? Because look at, this has been uncharted territories, everything going on in our world. And I think that, you know, I think it can be inspiring for a lot of people. And I think that the motivation is even greater to know that, hey, we got something to, you know, we have a product, we can entertain people and maybe just take them away from the real world for a couple of hours to see their favorite players and their favorite team perform. And I think there's something to that. And all the players I've talked to, the core guys on this team and throughout the league, everybody says, hey, why not, right? Why not us? Let's hope that we're healthy, and why not? We got an invitation. Why not take advantage? And let's try to make our community proud and help them get through this together. And then maybe that's a way to, you know, to help. And I'll certainly be trying to do my part as a broadcaster. Not sure where I'm going to be broadcasting these games from, but really looking forward to it.
Edzo, you're the best. I'll talk to you later in the day. Have a great day, kid.
Okay, love you guys. Thanks, Cap. Welcome
you're
back.
You're the best.
Guys,
thank you. There he is, the great Eddie Olczyk. We'll take a fast time out. The NBA bubble up and running. We'll talk about what's going on inside the bubble and maybe who's not in that bubble next. This hour brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD. Superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, rolling on ESPN 1000 with Danny Zetterman, Christopher Bleck, and thank you to the great Eddie Olczyk. I'm David Kaplan. We'll talk football with Mike Tannenbaum at 10 o'clock. So, Danny, I was in California, and before I left, there was no quarantine order. And then a buddy of mine, my buddy David, sent me a text, said, uh-oh, just heard the mayor's going to quarantine from 15 states. I think New York and Connecticut and New Jersey have gone to 18 states. Yet our neighbors to the north, they're not taking the COVID thing seriously. You were in Wisconsin, right? You saw it.
2 weeks ago, I went away. I went to Wisconsin. We went to the lake, and there were very few masks. And I was wearing a mask, and I was looked at like I had a third eye.
Yeah, Kevin Smith, of the former White Sox catcher, now with the Rays, said he went to the store in Florida, had his mask on, and people are giving him a hard time, calling him a blankety-blank, like, what are you doing wearing a mask? And he's like, are you people not aware of the ongoing COVID-19 problem? I got a family I want to keep healthy. It's just amazing to me how, like, our flight out there going, I was really impressed. Coming back, not as much. So one guy gets on the plane right behind my wife, then me, and then this guy's mom and him. He's like 20, 21, and doesn't have the mask on as he's getting on the plane. And my wife says to me, don't say anything. And I'm like, if he doesn't put a mask on and he's sitting in the same row as us, just on the other side of the plane, I'm going to say something. And he makes a snide, profane remark to the flight attendant. And the flight attendant, he says to the guy, the flight attendant was a man, says, hey, man, it's America's rule. That's, we all want to stay healthy. Either put the mask on or get off the plane, and we won't let you fly our airline anymore. And I was impressed. The flight attendant didn't raise his voice. He didn't curse back. He just was very direct. Like, if you had been in my shoes and that didn't happen, would you say something? Like, hey, put the mask on?
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, I think you're crazy for getting on an airplane. No offense to you. But, like, right now I'm not sitting in an airport and I'm not getting on an airplane. So the fact that you did it, if I was on the airplane and someone wasn't wearing a mask, of course I'd say something because I want to protect my health and my family's health.
Chris, would you?
On an airplane? Say something? Yeah, yes.
Or if you were in some air, you went into a store where they require a mask and someone was, you know, near you, walking up, and they didn't have their mask on.
Avoid them, yeah. I'm not talking to people who are not wearing masks. Sorry.
But you're not going to say to them, hey, man, how about putting a mask on?
Or, well, hey, is the person directly coming to my face to talk to me? My response would be, if you have a mask on, I'll talk to you. Otherwise, I'm trying to avoid you. That's my response. Sorry, yeah, take it or leave it. That's, you know, Cap, on Saturday night, my wife and I, we went to dinner on Madison Street. We were at Crossroads. Shout out to Crossroads. They're great people there. Big listeners of Cap and Company. They love the show. Uh-huh. And after we left, we sat outside. We were away from everyone. It was cool. Everything was fine. Walking down the street on Madison, we passed like 15 to 20 young 20-somethings, none of them wearing masks. Clearly, they were hammered. And like, it was just a normal Saturday night for them. So, like, I have very little patience for people who are not taking this seriously and not wearing masks in public when you're around other people. Now, if you're in the middle of a park by yourself and you're socially distanced, I get it. You can take the mask off and enjoy your day. But if you're around other people and you're in businesses, indoors, around other folks, then you have to wear a mask. That's it. End of story.
Completely.
So I have no patience. If someone wants to come up to me and talk to me without wearing a mask, sorry, I'm trying to avoid you. It is what it is. I'm like playing my own like video game in my head where I have to stay away, at least 6 feet away from every individual not wearing a mask.
Yeah, don't disagree.
That's just how it rolls, right?
Agreed. All right, we have to take a time out because we've got Mike Tannenbaum coming up, and we'll talk NFL. We'll get his thoughts on Cam Newton. Will get his thoughts on the rankings in the National Football League about offenses. Allen Robinson getting called out by LaDainian Tomlinson. There's a lot to get to with him. We go around the National Football League in exactly 2 minutes.